I do intend to be shorter.
I just kind of found something kind of, to me, cool this week. So I thought I would give you a light meal tonight. Exodus 28. And you're going to see something familiar in each of these verses, but it's talking about the Aaron's garment, the priest's garment. And among other things it said, and notice verse 6, they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, and of purple, of scarlet and fine twined linen with cunning work. It shall have the two shoulder pieces thereof joined at the two edges thereof, and so it shall be joined together. And the curious girdle of the ephod which is upon it shall be of the same, according to the work thereof, even of gold, of blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen. Now, if you go on down to verse 27, you read it something like this again. And two of the rings of gold thou shalt make, and it shall and shall put them on the two sides of the ephod underneath toward the forepart thereof, over against the other coupling thereof, above the curious girdle of the ephod. Verse 28, and they shall bind the breastplate by the rings thereof unto the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, and that it may be above the curious girdle of the ephod. Now, we won't read every single case, but look in 29:5. And thou shalt take the garments and put upon Aaron the coat and the robe of the ephod and the breastplate, and gird him with the curious girdle of the ephod. 32. Chapter 35. Well, the Lord, Moses is now talking about Bezaleel, who's going to do all of the intricate work. He says, Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. He hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass. Let's have a word of prayer. Now, Lord, just a neat thing tonight. I think we can see something in your book here that you've done that's really not explainable except that God wrote it. I pray that you just might help us understand, Father. I'd hate to drag these folks through this and not put it across right. So help me, please, do that. And I pray you might help folks to be able to wonder just a little bit tonight at the glories of your book. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so each of those passages, you see the word curious, okay? And curious occurs 11 times in all forms in the Word of God, all the way through. It shows up as curiously one time. Otherwise, it's all just curious. There are 10 times in the Old Testament, one time in the New Testament. And 8 of those times, it's always talking about the curious girdle of the ephod. So, plainly, the word curious is different than we use it today, right? It's defined back in Exodus 35:32, what we just read, where you'll see that this has to do with cunning work and in cutting of stones. So, what this is extremely intricate, detailed, ornate workmanship. That's what curious means. Just real quickly, Psalm 139:15. It doesn't just apply to the garments of the high priest. It applies to this as well. Psalm 139 and verse 15. My substance was not hid from thee, talking about God, when I was made in secret. David's talking, and he says, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Now, I can't really explain very well the lowest parts of the earth there, but notice curiously wrought. So a being, a man, a woman, is a curiously wrought, very intricate, very detailed engineering marvel, right? It's curious. Now, I've had this down in a notebook for a long time. I didn't get much out of it. The other day I was thinking, and in 2024, curious means eager to learn more or unduly inquisitive. Prying. Meddling. You know, we say curiosity killed the cat. And I imagine most of you are trying to kind of direct your children's curiosity in a modest manner. Because curiosity can kill the cat. Curiosity can be nosy these days, meddlesome. Every fool will be meddling, right? It's not a good thing. And so that's what curiosity means today. And since plainly curiosity or curious in Exodus and the other places, the 11 times in the Word of God, it doesn't mean curious by the 2024 standards. And so scholars would make a case for antiquation. The word curious is just outmoded. It's archaic. It's obsolete. So I went and looked. Now, I didn't go through all 11 occurrences in every new version. But I didn't find a single new version with curious in it. Not one. Not even the King James Bible. Because it's an obsolete word. And curious today doesn't mean what the Lord was using curious for. And so plainly what we need to do is get rid of it. I mean, it's been gotten rid of as far as Bibles are concerned. It's been put away, it's been shelved, it's been canned, it's been sacked, it's gone. Can't find it. Not even in the New King James. Curiously, in both Hebrew and Greek, yes, I can do Hebrew and Greek, there seems to be no word, standard word for it. If you look it up and go through the reference guides, you usually find it paired with another word, but it itself doesn't seem to have a word. It just seems to it doesn't stand alone. So it doesn't have a Hebrew or, for that matter, Greek word that is technically curious. And so it kind of seems to be a red-headed stepchild. No real ground for it in Hebrew, no real ground for it in Greek. So those despicable, loathsome, low-life King James translators put a word in that doesn't belong there. That's what they would say. And so we got to change that. Because after all, the word doesn't mean what we... It didn't used to mean what it means now. And there is no linguistic... There's no grammatical connection here between curious in our day and curious in the Bible, even the New Testament. And so we just should just get rid of it. So I want to talk to you for just a little while about the title, curiosity. 2024 means inquisitive. In the Bible, it means something ornate or intricate, very intricate workmanship. The new versions change the word to skillful. I'm impressed. So we probably should just get rid of it. But wait. In 8 out of the 11 times curiosity shows up, it is talking about the curious girdle of the ephod. Okay. And that ephod would have been very ornate and very skillfully embroidered. That it was said that there was, you know, all kinds of workmanship involved in that. So that's what curious means then. But it was the curious girdle of the ephod. So how would that connect for somebody who's using curious the way we use it today? Well, probably should take it out. Let me remind you, the ephod was basically a really fancy t-shirt. It had shoulder pieces that onyx stones were put in, and there were chains hanging from the shoulders. And on that, those chains were hung the breastplate. The breastplate was a folded piece of cloth with kind of a hollow center so you could put your hands in it like this. And it had four rows of three stones. So there were 12 stones, one for each tribe of Israel. And then the bottom of it connected by chains to the bottom of the t-shirt. So you have the ephod with the breastplate hanging on it by chains from here and secured by chains down here. And so, and beneath that was the curious girdle of the ephod. So it was a fancy pants, like a, what do they call those in the old tuxedos? Cummerbund, kind of like that. And the breastplate sat above it, and so it's around the guy's waist and so on. That's the curious girdle of the ephod. It's the curious girdle. And in that breastplate goes the Urim and Thummim. Big mystery. Don't know. What is it? I don't know. And Hebrew doesn't help, okay? But they went in there, and those priests had that. And one of the things that would happen is you could, David did, other kings did, you could inquire of God at the ephod. Don't know how this works either, but God would answer. Right? This was the curious girdle of the ephod. And I got thinking about that a little bit and thought, well, you know, this doesn't have any connection for us today. Curiosity being, for us, being over-inquisitive and, you know, curiosity killed the cat. But at the same time, aren't men curious? Aren't they always probing? Aren't they always inquiring and meddling and prying into how to communicate with God? I mean, don't they go to seances? Don't they smoke peyote? Don't they go to a sweat lodge and sit for hours and hours and hours so finally they're hallucinating from all the heat and the hydration and all that stuff, trying to get a hold of God? Don't they use tarot cards and palm reading and all that stuff to try to communicate with God? Ouija boards, enchantments, spells, channeling, yoga, nirvana. Be one with the candle. Be one with the doorknob. And you too can contact God. And they're always doing that. Necromancy, visions, they conjure up spirits, trying to communicate with God. Men are real curious about that. By our standards today, it's curious that it's the curious girdle of the ephod, which, if you point it out in the Old Testament, it's something that the high priest wore, that the right guy could come and inquire at it, and God would answer him. I don't know how, but he would. Right? It's connected to a high priest. Now, the high priest foreshadowed Jesus Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In fact, he was God manifest in the flesh. When you talk to Jesus Christ, you were talking to God. He said, he that seen me hath seen the Father. If you're walking with Jesus Christ while he was on this earth, you were walking with God. You were walking with your Creator. And he could talk to you and you could talk to him and that sort of thing. He is known as the Word of God. That's his name. He was a prophet like unto Moses. And so the prophets, let me just remind you, the prophets over in Amos chapter 3. Let me see if I can tie this together, all right? Amos chapter 3. The prophets did this. Amos 3, definition of prophecy. It's good for us. 3:8, the lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken. Who can but prophesy? Prophets spoke God's words. And one of the interesting things about two of the most famous prophets, Elijah and John the Baptist, both of those men were specified to have on a girdle. Okay, a girdle. No, not one of these girdles. It's a leather girdle, okay? But still a girdle. And that girdle is associated with the Word of God, with somebody prophesying. Well, Jesus Christ was the prophet like unto Moses. He was the Word of God. And so what I'm getting to here is even when you go to Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians 6, kind of intense here for a minute, but it'll lighten up. Just hang on there. Ephesians 6. We're talking about a curious girdle of an ephod while the prophets were girded. And in Ephesians chapter 6, we're reminded that we're supposed to be girded as well. And funny, you know, even though curious doesn't mean for us in common language what curious meant in the Bible. Still, if a curious guy comes looking in the Bible and finds the word curious, he would gradually be directed towards Jesus Christ and towards the Word of God. See what I'm saying? I mean, God had to do something where he says, no, I want curious there. Well, Lord, it ain't going to mean to somebody in 2024 what it means to us. I don't know. I don't care. I want it there. And so somebody that was seeking the truth and was curious and looked up curious would be directed towards Jesus Christ, his intermediary work, but mainly it would be directed towards the Word of God, towards preaching, towards prophesying. And notice in Ephesians 6, verse 14, among other things, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. I'm sorry, that was verse 13. Stand therefore, verse 14, having your loins girt about with truth. Oh, the girdle has to do with truth. Well, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And by the way, Jesus Christ was the way, the truth, and the life. See, all I'm getting at here is all of them would take curious out. They did. They all did. Curious is gone. Because it doesn't mean for us what it meant to them. They took curious out and put skillful in, mostly, or embroidered. And a guy that wanted the truth and went and studied curious would be led to the curious girdle of the ephod through which God spake to his people in the Old Testament. They would be led into the presence of Aaron, the high priest, foreshadowing Jesus Christ, the great high priest, who is the Word of God, who is the prophet like unto Moses, and who is the truth. It's just, there's no linguistic connection. There's no, you know, curious then doesn't mean curious today, and yet you're being still led by a God who knew what he was doing for 2024 as well as he knew what he was doing way back then to direct you into the path of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. I think that's cool. not quite done yet. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. It's 1 Peter 1. Because that's not all that's girded. 1 Peter chapter 1. Go on down to verse 10. 1 Peter 1, 10. Okay, now notice you know this passage pretty well. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in those prophets, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Under whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them who have preached the gospel, unto you of the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look unto. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. There's another girdle. There's something else you're told to be girded with, and you're to gird up the loins of your mind. Has to do with your mind. Well, once again, that all comes from being directed to the curious girdle of the ephod, right? And here you have where we are directed to let this mind be in you, which also is in Jesus Christ. Okay, that's the Word of God. The Bible says in Psalms 33 that God's thoughts are how's that go? I'll get it real quick. I think I quoted it this morning, so I already forgot it. Psalms 33, verse 11 says, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. The thoughts of God's heart is recorded in the book. Look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 2. And I won't go through this whole thing because We've been through it a lot, but verse 9, as it is written, I have not seen, neither have ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them those things unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all the things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. That's good, because now we can understand that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things, the things of God, also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. So these things are spoken and found in words, right? But which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things. You got to compare them by words, because that's how you receive them. So you got to have good words. You got to have right words. You got to have accurate words, right? Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? And that's what we've been talking about, the things of God spoken, revealed in words, that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Well, I happen to know, but from first-hand experience, that I don't think like Jesus Christ that much. But I have the mind of Christ. Okay? Well, we've been led to here by studying, curious, which doesn't mean today what it meant then. God directed you to the curious girdle of the ephod through which God spoke, and prophets had on girdles and spake. You were directed to Jesus Christ, the truth, which is the Word of God. And then you were directed to the girdle of the prophets. You're told to gird up the loins of your mind. You're told to gird up your loins. So a 2024 seeker, truth seeker, who looks at the word curious would see immediately that the way the Bible uses curious is not the way we use curious. And so it should be thrown out. Except for the fact that somebody that's really seeking the truth would go and see that curious girdle, which actually directs them towards Jesus Christ and the Word of God. No Hebrew, no Greek, no linguistic connection, but somebody that wants the truth can still get it. See that? There's kind of another end to this. Look at Acts 19. This is the only occurrence in the New Testament. Acts 19. Don't worry, I only have a couple more things to show you, and then I'm done. Acts 19. Acts 19. And in this passage, in Corinth, there's an issue with a man that has a spirit. And when they try to cast him out, he and the spirit leap on him and beat him up and wound him. Some false exorcists. So don't be trying that. Right? Verse 17, and this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. Fear fell up on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used the curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So if you'd come to the Bible with looking for the word curious and you didn't realize yet, for you would realize that it doesn't mean what you mean by curious. Somebody being, prying. Somebody being over-inquisitive. Well, you would have been led to Jesus Christ. You would have been led to the truth where you could find it. You would have been led to the Word of God. You would have been led to preaching. That's kind of cool. And just in case you got tangled up with the other bunch, you would have come to Acts 19, the only occurrence of it in the New Testament, where folks practice these curious arts. tarot card reading and, you know, spells and mixing up bat wings and, you know, gecko gizzards and stuff and making these concoctions and, you know, witchcraft stuff, curious arts. He says, now about that, if you're seeking me that way, burn it. Amen. Burn it. Amen. Just burn it. You'd be better off to burn it. And so nobody would be led wrong still. There's a yet another connection. If you go back to Exodus 35, one of our texts. Now, I know this is not, connected directly. It's just that I get peeved when they change the Bible. And they are so smart that they know that what God did needs to be corrected. They're so smart. Here in 2024, they're just words that don't mean what they used to mean. And therefore, out they go. It can't be found in an NIV or an NASV or a new KJV. No poly, they're not the same. Okay? When you start searching, even somebody that had that, there's not a linguistic connection. There is not a meaning connection. Somebody looking up curious in the Bible would be still directed to the truth. And if they got tangled up in the other curious arts, they'd be told, you'd take the example to burn them. Throw out the witch doctor. Burn his hut. Okay? Then you have, what did I say, Exodus 35 before I started preaching again. Sorry. 35. We read this earlier. And down in verse 30. Okay, Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. Okay, and I'm going to inspire him, essentially, to devise, verse 12, cunning, curious works, to work in gold and in silver and brass and the cutting of stones to set them, carving wood to make any manner of cunning work. It's very intricate. You watch once in a while, go to some place, and you watch a craftsman in metal or in wood or something, and it's kind of amazing, right? They're very, very gifted. It's a curious work. It's very intricate. But he said regarding Bezaleel, verse 31, and again, curious today for us in general, doesn't mean what the Bible meant by it. But if you did go study it, if you really were curious, and you really wanted the truth, you'd be led to a scenario where there's this guy that God, in verse 31, fills with the Spirit of God. You need to get saved. In wisdom, in understanding. Let's see, understanding. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding in Job 32, right? I know these connections are kind of loose. But loose or not, the book you have in your lap, man didn't write. Because if a word is totally disconnected, then you wouldn't be, and the author was a man, you wouldn't be coming up with these connections that lead you to the truth and your need for salvation, inspiration. It filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. That guy was filled with the Spirit of God. I have one last thing to show you. Psalm 139. Back there. Psalm 139. Saw it earlier. Verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Most people these days don't even know they're made. They think they sprouted from somewhere. They might have hatched. Anyway, marvelous are thy works that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought. Now, the word wrought is something that's done. It's workmanship that's accomplished. It's workmanship. It's worked. Curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Okay, so he's talking about his own body, his own being, and it's curiously wrought. It's intricately detailed. It's complex beyond belief. Talked about it some, you know, you start talking about the parasympathetic nervous system and the sympathetic nervous system, and you throw in there, you know, all of the hormonal systems, the regulatory systems, and it's so unbelievably complicated. I don't know how any ninny could say this sprouted from a puddle about 30 billion years ago. Hey, doofus, nothing happened. Don't get to care how much time you give it. Nothing like this happens without a designer, a creator. And so it means that. It means very intricately, complexly designed. It's an engineering marvel. That's true. But it says it's curiously wrought. What is one of the number one questions that men have in philosophy? Why am I here? They're curious about it. They've built whole systems of philosophy about it. They ask, why am I here? Right? What is the meaning of this? Well, God made you. God has a will for your life. And so somebody coming to the Bible even with that misunderstanding or just a narrow understanding of curiosity, meaning what it means in 2024, and come to the Bible, they still would find themselves curiously wrought. And if they want to, they could find some answers about why they're here and what God's will is for them. I just found all that kind of cool because each and every one of those is used that way. There's an answer. There's each and every use of curiosity in all 11 times points somehow to a greater truth, even coming to it with our understanding of curious today instead of their understanding of curious way back in the Old Testament. Amen. Man didn't write this book. Amen. God wrote the book, chose the words, so that even somebody as disconnected thinking as this could still find the truth. And I find that really cool. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I thank you tonight.